Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I was in the mood for this today. We always post the bumper music list on the X, formerly Twitter, at Mark Reardon, KFTK. Mark Gelman's coming up from the Gelman team. There are some fees that are really wreaking havoc with homeowners after they buy that we're going to talk about. And then there's another housing battle that's shaping up. So you're probably dialed into this that could really roil mortgage rates even more. I saw a story in the Wall Street Journal reaction to that from Mark, plus an audio cut of the day. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I have to have a fanfare to introduce him, because TJ Moe knocked his prediction out of the park for this election a couple of weeks ago on this very radio show. And I'm sure you remember it. How are you, TJ, this afternoon?
Doing well, Mark. What do they say, a broken clock still right twice a day?
But, you know, it's funny because that night, the night before the election, I had you on and my friend John Ziegler. And John was on first, and he's a bit of a contrarian. And, you know, he's actually, quite honestly, he's right about a lot of things. And I find myself on the losing end of my battles with Zig. But he said, oh, he's going to lose, you know, the blue wall. It's not going to happen. He was finally wrong. And then you come on right after him, and you called it the way that you saw it. And I'm so glad you were right. And I think many of us are very glad that you were right and that John was wrong. We got it done, TJ Moe. Maybe save the country, right?
Well, look, I just want people to believe your eyes, you know. It's everybody felt it in 2016. I stayed up all night watching that, and I thought, man, there's sure a lot. I get it. I live in, at that time, I lived in St. Charles County, Missouri, and so it'd certainly be a heavy conservative hub. But, you know, I thought, Trump's got a real chance. I wish to stay up and watch this. And Trump pulled it off. In 2020, I thought, you know how many people are, like, out-and-out Trump supporters now? I live in a county, St. Louis County, that voted 2-1 for President Biden. And everybody, I had a red hat. I wore it every single day. It's a Make America Great Again. And it what was incredible is it was mostly women who would walk by me and say, hey, I love your hat. And that's why I thought, hey, the white women are actually going to break for Trump here. And it turned out to happen that way.
Can I ask a fair question, though? As a former professional athlete, if I were positioned right next to you at the same gym and I was wearing that hat, you think the women would come up to me? Fair question. It's a fair question. I think the answer is no.
I do believe so, Mark. You're a dashingly handsome fellow, and I do think that would happen for you.
I appreciate that. But along those lines, I have a very dear friend in Las Vegas, my friend Rick Niner, who grew up here, and he's not necessarily on our side of the political equation, but he certainly is common sense, and he sees what's happening out there. But he said, and he's a big gym rat, so he said now at his gym in the last 2 weeks, there's guys in there and even girls wearing MAGA hats. So people are kind of emboldened and they feel like they can share this now.
Yeah, I noticed this. I go to Lifetime Fitness where we had all the issues with the trans dude or guy who thought he was a trans group voter. And there are women in there wearing Trump shirts. And this was before the election. So I'm telling you, it's been happening. I mean, look, this Trump dance is not it's a microcosm of America, right? When professional athletes, white and black, are coming out, John Jones is coming out, and not only giving props to President Trump, but doing the dance, and on top of that, and this hits home with me, first thing he does is talks about Jesus Christ. Look, Christianity is actually making a comeback here, and people feeling comfortable. There's something about, and it's been happening during the woke era. It's been going on for at least 8 years. I think Obama started, so it's probably more like 12. That you're really not allowed to say what you think. And in turn, that eventually controls what you think, right? It's the 1984 George Orwell thing. Like, eventually, you won't even have words to describe the wrong think because that they're all banned. So those words don't exist. They took them out of the dictionary. That's what we were feeling for a while. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of Christian faith and a lot of conservative people, a lot of women who weren't allowed to say, you know, I don't really care about Trump's tweets that much. I actually think he's really good for the country. Now everybody's out dancing about it.
Well, people, more importantly, I think, in your generation, not in my generation, because we saw younger people finally say enough is enough. And there was, you know, I had some anecdotal evidence of this with some, even some people in my family, some nieces and nephews from, you know, traditional more liberal areas and liberal families who on the trans stuff in particular, because they were athletes. So what my niece in particular, who's an athlete, they didn't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. I mentioned my, you know, I have friends who are gay and they don't like the trans stuff. They were pushing back against that. But this all kind of falls back on the media to me, TJ, because that's not the reality of which the legacy media portrays all these things. They're not dialed into the reality of America. We learned that, if nothing else, on election night 2 weeks ago.
You're exactly right. And that's how Trump won the election. And, you know, Donald gives credit to his son, Barron, and says, look, he put us on this podcast circuit. And all these, like, forgotten bros in America, they all came out and voted for Trump in a big way. And you saw, I mean, Charlie Kirk did more than anybody in the country at getting college kids to see, look, this conservative agenda is way more what you guys actually believe. Don't believe what your professors are saying. Here's the reality of it all. I do think it's a big deal. I think young people, the legacy media, have you seen Joe Scarborough this week?
Oh,
he actually
God.
Came out and
it's just embarrassing. Now, we've covered it thoroughly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And but there was a segment and it wasn't him. He's been a disaster this week, but he went on and basically one of his counterparts ended up saying, I don't know how we ever get our influence back because everybody is sort of consuming their news now through these 20-second clips. That's obviously a miscategorization of what's happening. People are listening to Joe Rogan for 3 hours at a time, much longer than their, you know, 35 minutes with commercials on MSNBC. But the reality is they have lost their power. And that will be Trump's defining accomplishment. When it's all said and done, most people think it's Roe v. Wade. It's my favorite, certainly. But his defining accomplishment will be he allured the masses of the fake news media. And everybody's out.
Look, I said in 2016, 2017, I was, because I went to journalism school at our alma mater, right? And I was a news person. I thought hearing the, you know, the media is the enemy of the people, TJ, I thought, well, that's ridiculous for that guy to say. And, you know, year after year after year, we learned the Kavanaugh hearings and Covington Catholic, so many things piled up. The media is the enemy of the people. And it's sad because there is, by the way, I want to say this, there's good journalism going on out there on Substack. There's great journalism on the Free Press and Barry Weiss. And these are all, by the way, former liberals that left the New York Times and other publications because they knew that even for their politics, the legacy media was getting too crazy and woke.
Yeah, look at Alex Berenson. Alex Berenson, a former New York Times writer who was basically shunned across the board for his stance on COVID. He was the only guy telling the truth. He came out and actually endorsed Donald Trump. I mean, this is a guy who couldn't have dreamed. In 2023, he was saying he wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. And these guys are saying, look, these people are anti-free speech. They're anti-woman. They pretend to be pro. I mean, look at all the – did you see you have Tim McBride and all this stuff going on. Fetterman comes out and says, she can use my bathroom.
Like, yeah, see, yeah. I'm sorry, you called him Tim, so that confused me. But yes, the congressman from Delaware, and you know, there has been a little bit of a resolution to that because McBride came out and said, look, I'm going to follow the rules that, you know, Speaker Johnson laid down, even if I disagree with him. So maybe that puts some of that to rest. Now, there have been some controversial things that have been associated with the cabinet picks, but let's talk about RFK Jr. because I saw a picture of you with RFK Jr. When did that occur, and what are your thoughts there?
So I have met him twice. We had him in. We had a big COVID special on Fearless with Jason Whitlock, the show that the digital media show that I'm a part of. And so we had them in. John Stockton came in. Ron nice. Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, came in. We had a big crew. There was about 10 guys who all Nick Rolovich, head coach, who lost his position, his job as a, I think it was at Washington State, maybe. And so as a big crew, he came in for that. And it was, I mean, that's when I first, you know, I'm maybe just being a little bit naive. I didn't really realize how popular he was. And I'm like, oh, Kennedy, great. You know, looks like Kennedy. And, anyway, you start hearing him talk and you're like, oh, this is what Ivy League is supposed to sound like. We hear all the Ivy League idiots on mainstream media now. And you're like, oh no, you know, you listen to RFK talk and you're like, oh, this is like what a high IQ individual really sounds like.
But you have big differences with him on several issues. So how do you come to terms with that? He's not pro-life. You're extremely pro-life.
Yeah, so that's exactly correct. And I tend to think he had to, particularly when he was in the Democratic primary, he gave his actual position, if you remember, at about, you know, 12 to 15 weeks, and then he had to backtrack because the Democrats freaked out on him. And so I think he does believe in some limits. I believe that there should be, you know, that the moment of conception is my Christian values. But I think, you know, as Mike Pence came out and first of all, nobody's actually cared about a single word Mike Pence has had to say since January 7th of 2021. So I'm not sure why we're still interviewing Mike Pence. But he came out and said, look, as the head of the HHS, he doesn't believe, you know, he has a bad abortion position, and so we shouldn't have him. But it's like, when was the last time you heard anybody at the HHS have any opinion on abortion ever?
Well,
they don't have it. There's
no, exactly.
There's nothing.
And on the look, let me play this because, you know, everybody brings up the vaccine stuff, but that's nuanced, very nuanced.
I'm not going to take away anybody's vaccines. I've never been an anti-vaccine. If vaccines are working for somebody, I'm not going to take them away. People ought to have choice, and that choice ought to be informed by the best information.
Yes, informed and also not forced upon people like they were during COVID.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so, I mean, look, he's saying too, like, things that are so obvious to anybody that's been paying attention for more than like 10 seconds. Hey, I don't think it's in the best interest of America to tell a vaccine maker that they have no liability. Like, anybody, okay, you can put any sort of poison you want out there. You have no liability whatsoever. You can't sue them. So anybody with any sense would say that. And the second thing is that, hey, I think we should have safe studies on all of these things. We should have, you know, long, extensive studies that we don't have on any of these vaccines. And what's interesting is everybody says, yes, we do. And he's like, okay, find them. And you would think if he was lying, certainly you would know if he was lying. Not only could you locate them, but he would have been sued by Fauci and all these other people for defamation. And there are no suits against this guy. Right. Why is that?
Because he's right.
Yeah, well, because he's buttoned up on a lot of the facts. Absolutely. Look, I'm encouraged, and I'm really encouraged by, I don't like the Gates appointment. I just don't. And I think it's going to be too much of a distraction here.
Give me something on that. Why?
Well, and I've admitted that I only know a certain amount about Matt Gaetz based on his personal history. But here's how I can cull it down. If there was a Democrat in the White House or about to come in the White House and they appointed someone with a character as low as I believe Matt Gaetz is to an esteemed position like this, I think I would throw the red flag and say this is ridiculous. And there'd be a lot of us on the radio doing that. So it's hard for me to not do that with Matt Gaetz because I kind of feel the same way. Now, I also said, TJ, maybe because we get this information through the filter of the aforementioned legacy media. So is my opinion perhaps somewhat unfair? It could be. I would certainly allow for that possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. They've been after this guy for a while, and he was, by the DOJ, cleared at least of any wrongdoing that could be proven and brought charges against him. So the House Ethics Committee can do their investigation, but we've seen this. They can say whatever they want, and whatever, as we've seen with Kavanaugh, as soon as an accusation comes down, that's reality to the opposite party.
Yep, that's right.
And so at that point, I don't believe anything that anybody has to say about
that
case. Here's what I really – yeah, well, then I can't hold it against him either. Right. That's sort of my point. So, OK, well, what do I know about Matt Gaetz? I know that Matt Gaetz is not taking money from PACs. How many people can you say that about in Congress? He's one of the few guys in all of Congress not taking money from Big Pharma and from any of these other PACs. So I think that's a big deal. The second thing is this. If I'm Donald Trump and I have what happened to me in 2016 happen where you have generals, you have people writing books about you, you have all the people that you were told are on your side turning against you. You go to the few people that you know have your back and you say, you're in charge of something. And Matt Gaetz is one of those people.
Yeah, no, I see the reasoning behind that. And if he gets his hearing, he's going to get his hearing. And I'm guessing that he's going to be someone that can hold up against some pretty tough questioning. That would be one thing I would expect. Before I let you go, thoughts on Mizzou. Obviously, it's been a tough season. We've had some disappointments. You know, the thing about last Saturday is that was a great effort at the end. Luther's catch was amazing. Brady showed a lot of heart. They couldn't stop him on the last drive. But I felt better about that loss than I did about some wins earlier in the season.
I totally agree with that. One thing that I'm most I think we talked about this maybe a couple weeks ago. I'm most encouraged by is this. This team's not nearly as good. We may have talked about this actually at the very beginning of the season, that this actually always happens to Mizzou. Mizzou will sneak up on somebody, have a national championship caliber team, and then the next year everybody thinks they will have a national championship caliber team, and then they end up winning, you know, 8 or 10 games, something like that. It happened in 2008. It happened in 2014. You know, and now it's happening again. Where the team's just not as good. It had high hopes, and it's not there. What I will say about this team, though, that I'm encouraged by, and I think usually this is it's a representation of the personality of the coach. This team is resilient as hell, and they don't give up. They don't pull all of them out, but man, they pull a lot of these things out. There's never a moment where these guys think they're going to lose the game. I mean, down to the one-handed catch by Luther Burden that you're talking about, or the overtime. With Vanderbilt, or the big catch by the receiver against Oklahoma. I forgot his name, the guy who transferred from Oklahoma now.
Theo?
And so I just think Theo.
Is that
Theo Weiss? Yeah. Uh-huh. And so I just think all of these guys think, hey, we got a chance forever. And most teams aren't wired that way, man, especially when you don't have time to create a culture. I mean, these coaches have a way harder job than they used
with the
to
portal,
have.
Portal, for
you
sure.
Don't
that's
get the
a good point.
For 4 years.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. But so then, but now you're in a position where maybe, you know, look, I could see him winning the next two games. That Arkansas game is going to be tough. This weekend might be tough for sure. But they could possibly end up with only three losses. You get a good bowl game. Some of us will feel like that's a disappointment because you're not in the CFP. But then you got to start thinking about what's down the line, and you probably have to go to the portal for a quarterback, right?
Probably.
Unless
you know,
Sam Horn is healthy.
Yes, Sam Horn coming off Tommy John. That's a big deal. You just have no idea. Coming off Tommy John, you know, you've seen guys do great, but especially you don't see many quarterbacks coming off Tommy John. Oh. You know, they come off, you know, rotator cuff or something like that. And so just don't know what that's going to look like. You probably do end up going to the portal. You got to have a quarterback, but I'm a huge fan of Brady Cook, actually. But it's not like he's a major gunslinger either. You need to get a guy that's serviceable and, you know, get a run game. Missouri has proven they went to the portal and got two really good running backs
Absolutely.
This year. They're going to have good receivers. I mean, it seems like I hope what I hope happens is they win enough games that the recruiting class doesn't fall apart. That's really all I'm watching.
I think that there's a strong possibility. Look, you win out here, and I think they can do that. I don't know about, you know, the bowl game. I think there is a strong possibility that would happen, and that's what we got to hope for. That's good. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for coming on here. Appreciate it. Congratulations on your accurate predictions. You got to feel good about that. Got to feel good about the country, I would say. TJ, right?
Yeah.
All right,
no
dude.
Doubt.
Take
Look
care. Have a great good. Thanksgiving. We'll
Thanks
see you. All right, bye.
Get more at 971talk.com.